The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out.
All right, let's go to the phone line where we have Clark Williams Dairy on the phone line with the Institute for Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program here today. And first of all, before we get into the study that you guys have just recently, you guys, look at me, I have to get better with my journalism language needs to get to the 2.0 and get to the modern times. So your company, your organization, Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, first of all, just flows off the tongue. Secondly, what is the IEEFA?
We call it IEFA.
IEFA, okay.
It's an organization that looks at the energy transition. We do research, mostly financial and economic research, on issues related to the oil and gas industry, coal, but also the transition to renewable energy. So we try to make sure that all of our research is nonpartisan, it's unbiased. We're trying to do our best to represent reality as the way we see it. So,
well, that was my next question: how are you guys funded? So it's a nonpartisan. It's just go ahead.
Yeah, it's funded mostly through philanthropic donations. There are philanthropies that want to make sure that there's good information out there about the energy transition, and we mostly get our money that way. We don't really have a membership base. That's the question. So.
Yeah, and one of the ways that I thought this was an interesting study that you have just recently put out.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we're one of the few outlets out there that will challenge the industry from time to time in a respectful, thoughtful, in like one way we're doing right now is asking the question, you know, is $100 oil the new $50 oil? And it's a thought exercise because of the regulations, inflation, all kinds. You know, there's a bunch of different reasons to look at it.
Yeah.
And yours has the Bakken peaked. Of course, the Bakken is my home shale play. You know, I always look at people down in Texas. Well, they got the Permian as their home base, or the Haynesville, or if you're in Wyoming, you got the Powder River. The Bakken would be my home base, and that's been one that's been up and down. And you know, it's when it first came out, it just was the world-class shale play, and it had all kinds of leaders in the marketplace from the core data library to just the sweet crude that was almost refined the second it came out of the ground. And then it's had a couple of growing pains, you know. Oh, we forgot to carry the one. You need more water. Oh, we forgot to carry the one there. And
that's right. Yeah,
and all of a sudden, the 30-year play is a 20-year play. And now this new one that's out is more of the geographical locations and just some of the ducks, how they're not holding up to what they were before. So I do want to talk about the study a little bit, maybe even challenge it. Let's talk a little bit. Give kind of the executive summary of this study that's titled "Has the Bakken Peaked?" Because I'll tell you what, you caught my attention with that headline.
Yeah, right. Well, so we don't answer the question about whether the Bakken has peaked, and that's really going to depend a lot on what happens to oil prices and the market in general. It's hard to say. Yeah, you know, like one of the best ways to be wrong about the future is to make a prediction about the future. So we're just sort of raising the question here. But the problem that we're identifying is that many of the best locations, the best drilling locations, have already been drilled. That is, the sweet spots, the core of the core in the Bakken, is already got a lot of drilling activity in it. And there is some data that we were looking at that suggests that there's not a lot of running room left, that they're running short of new high-quality drilling sites. Now, in a place as large as the Bakken, that doesn't necessarily mean that the production's over. But what it does mean is that in the future, as those high-quality drilling sites are exhausted or tapped out, that you're going to have to move into lower-quality drilling sites that produce less oil and less gas. They have worse economics. And the result is that over time, the break-even costs for drilling, or the break-even price that's needed to drill a new well, is going to rise. And it's going to make it harder for shale companies to make money. Now, that doesn't mean they won't make money, because obviously a lot's going to depend on the price. And you know, if $100 a barrel of oil for oil is the new 50, then, you know, maybe there's some more running room to go. But if oil prices drop that back down to the $50, $60 range, you may start having some real growing pains, some difficulty in sustaining today's level of production economically. And so that's really what we looked at.
My question, which might be a naive question, but, you know, if the sweet spot and the best locations have already been drilled, is it just sheer economics after that? Is that, you know, this site is just too far outside of a comfort zone for our economics? Is that what we're talking here?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, we used a data set called IHS Market, which is one of the big industry standard data sets. And one of the things that IHS Market does is it gives you an estimate of the break-even price that is needed to drill a new well. And you can see in the core of the core, Bakken wells do pretty well. They line up pretty well with, say, wells in the Permian, in other places. They're productive, and they produce a lot of oil, produce some gas, and they can break even when oil prices, according to IHS, they can break even at $40 or $42 a barrel. But as you get farther out away from the core, that price goes up to $50, $60, north of $60 in some cases. And so then it's just a question of, well, how many drilling sites are left? How many good, high-quality wells are left? And how many places are sort of farther away from the core that has, you know, less oil and gas trapped under the ground in the shale layers? And that's where the thing that opened my eyes, when we looked and we saw what IHS was saying about the number of drilling sites, the high quality drilling sites remaining, it looked like the Bakken had only a year or two left of high quality drilling sites at previous, at basically previous drilling rates. It's hard to know what's going to happen in reality. The industry's always evolving, always discovering new ways of doing things. It may be able to sort of figure out ways of boosting production, but the way things are looking right now is that there's only a few years left of the very best drilling sites, maybe 2-3 years. And then you're going to start moving into higher cost wells that, they cost the same as a high quality well, but they produce less oil and gas.
Did you just say there's only 2 to 3 years left of quality Bakken drilling sites?
That was what our research showed. The numbers, it's going to depend on what the industry does, how they pick and choose their sites from here on out. But, we looked at things, and at the the high end, we're thinking around 700 or so high quality, that's top quintile wells, drilling sites were left, as identified by this IHS data set. And the industry, prior to the COVID turndown, was drilling somewhere in the range of 650, 700 of these high quality wells a year. So it was looking like there was not a lot of space left. Now, at today's lower rates of drilling, you might be able to piece things out for another few years. But
to listen to the full length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly. $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code OTIS. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground with it.
Hey everybody, I'm Matt Hill. I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the AAPG convention, and I get to introduce amazing people that I meet to you out there, highlight, you know, people in our industry, in oil and gas. Barbara, O'Neill, tell me about yourselves. How'd you get in this industry? Who are you?
Well, I just said I'm Barbara Hill. I am from Oklahoma originally.
Probably related.
Yes, and we're probably related somewhere down the line. And I got into this industry because I've always loved rocks. I was told I couldn't do this because I was a girl, and I went, no, I can do it. And I've done it. I went all the way through and got a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD, and now I'm representing the world's largest oil services company and here in Tulsa. It's great to be back.
Hi, I'm O'Neill Wind, and I'm the sales manager for Schlumberger Reservoir Lab. And I got into this industry, I would say, based on just interest.
Yeah.
I'm Canadian, and this is what was happening. Schlumberger is a big part of Canada, and that's why I went into this business.
Yeah. What made you go, man, I want to be in oil and gas? Like, were you in college, and that's like all of a sudden that's where you saw yourself going?
Yes. Again, the industry itself, and being in Calgary, Alberta.
Everybody's in oil.
Definitely,
gas,
yes. So seeing it, knowing people that were already in the industry, and that's where the interest came from.
So Schlumberger, everybody knows Schlumberger, I hope, you know, out there. Right? Worldwide oil and gas services company, technology, innovation, equipment, people.
So what is Schlumberger's reservoir laboratories?
What the laboratories are is we are a rock and fluids lab where we can analyze the rock, analyze the fluids. We look at what the porosity, permeability are, what the saturations are. We can look at the fluids to determine what your bubble point is. But also what we do is we bring that to come up with ideas on the best way to get that fluid out of the ground for production so that we can help the clients overcome the problems and get it out of the ground. And one of the other things we do are the gentlemen behind us over here. We have borehole imaging and we have geosteering, so we all work together to try to maximize what the clients can do as far as their oil, their reserves are. But we also are now working on helping to put it back into the ground for carbon sequestration so that we can help with the environmental issues. Schlumberger is devoted to their new energy product where we actually help to sequester the carbon so we can protect the environment for the next generations.
Wow. So they're leaders in the whole ESG, right? In the movement.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And this is a global function that we have. We're doing this globally. A lot of research is going into it from our port. I mean, obviously with all the expertise we have in drilling and everything else, now we're putting that back into driving the industry to try to get it right and get it done properly.
Yeah, and by all means, our the people who are investing in oil and gas, that's what the ESG is about. They want to see us active in our own roles. And honestly, I think we're the best at it. You know, we have the technology, we have the brain power, and we have the hearts to protect our environment. What are you seeing as far as technology that's interesting to you right now that you think that Schlumberger will probably be driving in the future?
One of the new technology or something we're pushing is fiber. So we have the new cables, and it's unfortunate our fiber guys aren't here to actually talk about it, but it's part of the new technology, as well as digital scal. That's where we're digitizing the rock, digitizing the fluid, and creating a model and coming up multi-phase flows. So my colleague here knows much more in depth because she's a part of that. That talks a bit more about it, but this is something I'm talking to my clients about when it comes to unconventional reservoirs. This is typically done in the conventional realm, but in unconventional, it is something that we're doing, and we have publications that we can show our clients.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, it's all. This is amazing. What Schlumberger, you know, I mean, the resources y'all have. I mean, that's what you drive. People want to work for Schlumberger. You know, they just do. That's one. It's on people's bucket list when they get to oil and gas, right?
Yeah.
Just for the research abilities alone. How do they get a hold of you, Barbara?
Well, you can reach me. My email address is bhill8@slb.com. My colleague here, O'Neill.
It is O Wint, so O W I N T @slb.com.
And you guys are both on LinkedIn.
Definitely.
We're definitely can get us through LinkedIn. Definitely. We're both on there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look us up.
Hey. Absolutely. Come visit us.
Yeah. Please visit them. Support them in what they do. I mean, this is all for the betterment of our industry and each other and our world. I mean, we have reliable, abundant energy because of oil and gas workers. Guys, that's it. Thank you for being on. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Take care. God bless.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep, a good sleep for only $19.98 regularly. $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Hello and welcome to another live episode of The Energy Detox, a petroleum-based blend of leadership conversations guaranteed to boost your professional and personal output by flushing away the hidden and often toxic barriers to peak performance. I'm your host, Joe Sinnott, a chemical engineer, executive coach, and 16-year energy industry veteran, helping you tap into the same resources fueling today's most successful and sustainable leaders. And today we're going to talk about how some of the best leaders out there are also the best gift givers. This is a time of gift giving, and in many cases, poor gift giving, giving gifts that don't, really resonate with the recipient, and in some cases, cause the recipient harm or angst or anxiety, or at least a desire to immediately shelve that gift or donate it or, return it to the store if possible. And obviously, from a corporate standpoint, if you have leaders that are wasting time giving gifts that really don't resonate with the intended recipients, and again, in some cases, actually cause harm, well, you're setting yourself up for trouble. So in today's episode of The Energy Detox, we're going to help boost your awareness of those times where you might be giving gifts that aren't very good. And to drive today's conversation, as always, we're going to weave together some current events, some energy industry headlines, and of course, some of the things that I see in my day-to-day as an executive coach. And one of the biggest things to drive today's conversation is the fact that this month, in fact, I couldn't find an exact date this morning, but I did see one article that was dated December 23rd of 1981 that discussed President Ronald Reagan's signing of a declaration or whatever it was, that basically instituted the government cheese program. And a little backstory on that, if you're not familiar, essentially in the 70s, there was issues with inflation, as you might be feeling right now, and other things going on that led to some, pretty crazy prices when it came to dairy products. So, of course, the government stepped in, and over time, it amassed a pretty big stockpile of cheese. And in 1981, someone came to President Reagan and said, look, we have millions and millions of pounds of this, in many cases, moldy cheese sitting around, and we need to do something with it. We need to, figure out what to do. We've purchased this cheese, the government owns it, and it's just going to go to waste. So what could we do to prevent, again, more of this cheese from just going bad? And, long story short, it led to the government cheese program, where these 5-pound bricks of highly processed and not the best tasting cheese was given to those who were low income, who needed assistance, and again, as a means of giving them food in an environment where you had hyperinflation and, you know, food was expensive and tough to come by for many individuals. And obviously the intent of this was to help people, but of course the motivation behind this was to offload a bunch of extra cheese that many people had lying around. And the unintended consequences of that, besides some of the societal implications of people who felt like they were being pegged as, you know, from a socioeconomic standpoint as either being recipients of government cheese or not. And again, we won't go into all those details, but from a strictly, you know, health standpoint, pushing all of this cheese on the population wasn't all that good. And again, this is not a knock against dairy farmers and the cheese industry. I am pro cheese. If I need to, you know, make my claim here in this world of either being pro something or anti something, you know, God forbid we actually just have a thoughtful middle of the ground approach. But that being said, cheese, in many cases, caused harm for people, not just on the long-term impacts of highly processed cheese on people, but quite frankly, on the fact that a big population of those receiving this government cheese was lactose intolerant. So something like, you know, 25% of America's population is lactose intolerant. And when you look at some of the groups that were the biggest recipients of this, it pushes into the 60 and 70% of those receiving this cheese whose bodies don't even want it. So that being said, there's this gift that the government is pushing on people that, again, their bodies didn't necessarily need or want, although, again, the intent was obviously good. And, again, we can take this strategic cheese reserve and obviously turn to headlines from a month ago where the strategic petroleum reserve was there. And, again, what was the intention? The intention was to tap into the strategic petroleum reserve to help people out, to do good things. And, of course, what did we find? That in some cases, it had the opposite impact. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to future episodes here, kicking back up next week after Christmas.
Crude Life with Jason Spies.
You remind me that I'm not in control. I'm out of control, man. You know, I think that I'm better alone. But you're keeping me open. And what I see, and you've been sitting in the door. You already know that.
All right, welcome to the Crude Life podcast here. I have Jesse Swindell with Mertz Manufacturing and Ken Lavin as well. Of course, Ken Lavin is day job. He's with Mertz Manufacturing. He moonlights like an owl with Fossil Fuel Fridays, as well as Outdoor Adventure. Is that the correct?
Outdoor Ventures, with a V.
With a
Ventures.
V. Okay.
That's right.
I do that on purpose sometimes. I stumble just to make sure people remember. So they say, I don't want to be an idiot like that, Jason. You know what I did last night? So here's what happened to me, guys. I apologize if I'm a little bit tiptoeing around because I'm very tired because I'm driving down to the Permian Basin here. I have a event on Wednesday called Flock, Sock, and Barrel.
Very cool event.
Yeah, we're going to be filling a barrel full of unused socks because socks are the number one request item at homeless shelters for women and children and that sort of thing. Shoes as well, but we're going to be doing socks. And last night I stopped somewhere in right outside of Kansas City. We'll just say right outside of Kansas City, about 20 miles by Holt, actually, Holt. And I haven't done this in years, but I stopped to rest, and I forgot to turn my lights off. So about an hour and a half later, this flickering was happening, and I didn't know what was going on. And so all of a sudden, I got up, and I realized what I did. I turned the lights off. My car wouldn't start, so I drained the battery. Not all the way down to where the lights were, you know, internal lights. The interior lights were out. But so here I am, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning. I got to be here at 9 a.m. and I'm racing against the clock. I got a dead battery. And here's what I thought of, actually. I'm damn glad I got a gas-powered car with an old traditional battery, because if this was a Tesla, this is a minimum of a three-hour charge.
That's true.
And I'm being totally serious. And then when I drive another 90 miles, I got to charge it even longer and that sort of thing. So that dawned on me as I was driving here to Oklahoma City. How are you doing today, Jesse, by the way?
I'm doing well.
So I apologize if I seem like a little under my... If I feel like I feel like I was on an all-night bender, actually. That's what I told Kevin. He goes, how you feel? And I go, I feel like I've been on a bender, man. At my age, you know, when you don't get your beauty sleep, it can... you feel it in the stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Well, Jesse, let's talk about what you do with Mertz Manufacturing. We all know what Ken does. He's kind of the sales and marketing, as well as he does some podcasting on the side with Fossil Fuel Fridays. Of course, he does some content correspondent work for The Crude Life. But Jesse, what is it you do?
So I am an engineer with Mertz, and responsible for design and analysis of primarily trailers, but anything else that might come in the door as well.
Explain a trailer then for the listening audience out there in maybe our radio land who is not working in oil and gas.
Sure. So primarily we deal with large trailers, semi-trailers, that are dedicated to a specific specific purpose. So they'll not be your traditional freight hauling trailers, but rather have permanently mounted equipment mounted to these trailers and will serve a purpose throughout their life.
Specific for the duty at hand. Those are some interesting things. I took a tour of the shop, and man, it's like an episode of Modern Marvels down there from the History Channel.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I'm totally serious, too.
Thank you. And, yeah, thanks to our guys out in the shop for enjoying us as we drive by in the tour. That was, guys, it was awesome to be able to show you everything in there. So thank you guys for what y'all do in the shops.
Appreciate that. And, by the way, we are having a wise conversation as well. That's another reason why the owl is here. Getting all kinds of comments. Why is the owl there? Ian, why is it not there? We should be having an owl in more conversations, overlooking our wise conversations.
Are we going to be bringing the owl to all of our shows now? I'm just done.
The dog's done. Frackleberry Hound, you're done now. Yeah. Ollie the owl. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right? There you go.
Engineering, though, talk to me about how that plays into this whole deal, because you know, a lot of it's done by robots and lasers and computers, but it starts somewhere.
It does. It does. It starts on the computer screen and basically, actually, I guess it starts technically before that with a concept from a customer, you know, and, right. And that could be anything
cocktail
from a napkin sketch.
Yeah.
Exactly. A napkin sketch.
We've had that happen before.
Or
I
dinner
would
napkin, I guess. Or dinner napkin.
Dinner napkin, yeah.
Wasn't projecting anything
Did we actually, we had that happen, right?
Didn't sure, we? Yeah, that happens more often than not, actually. You know, we get a rough sketch and we start putting it into the computer and see where it heads.
I did notice that some of the customers that you guys do have, and these are some big name customers. These are global names that you guys have for customers. I never know, you know, if people drop names of their customers or anything like that. But through the either, if you can certainly name the customers and their trailers, but mention some of those customized trailers, kind of what people, you know, have in mind, because I think a lot of people are thinking of maybe like hog trailers or cattle trailers or that one trailer that hauls 47 cars when you drive by, you know, and
sure.
It's a little bit more advanced than that, some of these are.
Sure, sure. It's, you know, all of our trailers are dedicated to an application. We've got several, as you mentioned, high-profile customers that we're grateful for and really help bring value in the development side of their new projects. So, you know, the well servicing industry in general is really pushing the limits of what you can do with physics, with the DOT, with you know, it's just growing bigger, taller, wider, heavier. Every direction we're pushing the limits of what can go down the road. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Oh no, I was going to say I think there's one customer we can talk about. That's Northwest Crane. We've done crane trailers for them. You're talking about an actual customer itself, and that was huge. Is it the aggregate trailer?
Yes.
So that was a great example of some of these. They have some of the largest cranes out there too, here just in Oklahoma, and they're nationwide, are they not?
They do. They have a great regional presence here in the Oklahoma. And they stretch to Texas and Kansas as well. So, and then they've also partnered with some others in the industry to sell our trailers for us. Yeah, so that we're grateful for the partnership with them.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all very, very much.
One thing I noticed when I was going through the shop, and actually you've got two different shops. You've got kind of a, I don't know what you call the white building, and then there's a blue and white buildings. It's like a small city out here, to be honest.
Like 360,000 square feet total.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, 360.
Wow, 300. 1,060 square feet.
Yeah, and that's so that's kind of that'd be like our machining and layout area and like laser cutting area, and then this is more like your welding and assembly and like paint and finish up product.
I used to live in Sundberg, Minnesota, and I think that your shop is bigger than my town of Sundberg. Population 134. Well, our shopping mall, whenever I go out there, I would with the parking lot, I used to think that all the time. Like, I think this shopping mall with the parking lot is bigger geographically than the town I went to elementary school in. I mean, when you start thinking about it.
And the town of Mertz is 164 strong. We have 164 people here.
Okay, so. Okay. Well, one thing I noticed when I was walking through the different shops, you know, and seeing some of the customers you guys do work with, it was like getting a tour of North Dakota. And what I mean by that is North Dakota is very, very black and white and center. So on the west, you've got primarily oil and gas. Okay. So I've seen your oil and gas manufacturing trailers that you guys have, your custom ones, for some pretty big name customers on there. And then I've seen some municipality type looking things. So it looks like I'm hit the center of the state in Bismarck, North Dakota. Then I go to Fargo on the east where they don't have any oil rigs and just ag. And you guys do a lot for ag too. So talk to me about the different sectors that you guys are, because I'm seeing ag, municipality, and oil and gas.
Sure. You know, that's the beauty about fabrication is everybody needs fabrication help regardless of the industry. And we've been blessed with the opportunity to really, I guess, work with many of those different industries. Like you mentioned, the oil and gas is historically our primary industry, I would say, but we've been grateful to branch out into municipalities, the electric grid service and service trailers there, transformer trailers.
I was going to say, it looked like a transformer I walked by.
Yes.
One of those. Oh, that was huge.
In one of the shops, yeah.
Yes, so we're grateful for that. The mobile substations has been a big part of our business here recently.
No, thank you, Jason, very much for coming out to Mertz Manufacturing. Guys, look him up. Again, The Crude Life, along with multiple plugs that he is in so many things. And he's about to be in the Oil Man magazine, by the way.
Right.
So, he made the cover, guys. This is awesome.
And wait till read the article. All kinds of reasons why.
Oh, Lord. So
2022 is going to be a hell of a year, folks.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
Never should a joker catch my eye, but I looked over and I caught some feelings. Saw a couple things that I really liked, but you got caught up in the big day.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
I never let the joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running.
Here we are at the Energy Exposition in Gillette, Wyoming, being joined with the governor himself, the Honorable Mark Gordon. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Jason. Good to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here. We're getting very excited for your presentation tonight, your speaking tonight, your engagement. And in fact, we got Zach Ross, who's practicing and getting ready with some riffs. He's going to perform the national. Have you ever had anyone perform an electric guitar version of the national anthem?
I have not, but I was told about one of the ships that was, and I'm trying to remember which one it was, but it was bombed by terrorists. And as they left the port in Oman, they played Jimi Hendrix's version.
Oh, no kidding.
As loud as they could, because they didn't want the Muslims to be offended.
So I told Zach Ross, who just graduated from Campbell County High School, and he's on his way to Powell, Wyoming.
Exactly. Great music program.
Yeah, Northwest College.
Yeah.
And so community college. And so he's going to head out there. He's actually skipping class today. In true rock star fashion, he's skipping class to play guitar.
Yeah.
And so we wish him all the luck. But and I've never seen a live performance myself of National Anthem, so I'm very excited for this and the whole deal.
Cool.
What are you going to speak on tonight? I imagine part of it will be some news that really, in the last 24 hours, is dominating any of the news networks, which is, it sounds like President Biden's going to be doing some change-a-roo, if you will, with the federal leasing. Update us on what's going on there.
Yeah, it's a little hard to know exactly what the dimensions of this are going to be. They've been sort of dragged, kicking, and screaming to kind of loosen up. We and a number of other states sued early in the year. Louisiana got a judgment fairly quickly. They had, quote, paused, which is not litigable. But they'd paused the leasing to do a study, round one was canceled, round two was canceled, round three they started doing some of the scoping for. I guess they're doing a little bit of leasing, but they still want to do reform, and God knows what that's going to be exactly. We're standing in there. We have another lawsuit that says you have to reinstate round one and round two. This country needs to move forward, and we can't just sort of, you know, have little piecemeal movements. We've got to have a program that makes sense, that allows people to invest, and make sure that we have a runway out in front of us.
Let's talk about investment. You were one of the states that got creative with some COVID CARES Act money, if my memory serves me correctly. I don't know what the exact terminology is, but you basically put it as an economic development stimulus, which was different than what North Dakota did, who did a similar version of that. Talk about that and how that's going.
Sure. Well, and I would say Doug Burgum's a great friend, and we've kind of been sort of shoulder to shoulder in a lot of this. But in our program, what we did, first off, we wanted to make sure that most of that money went to the small businesses that were really impacted. And if you're in Wyoming, oil and gas is our biggest employer, and it's just makes sense to make sure that we got that money out to producers. So we had what we called the Energy Rebound Program. We put about $40 million out last year, put a bunch more out this year to basically finish wells that hadn't been completed. And as you know, Jason, when prices collapsed last year, for the first time in the state's history, really the first time in the state's history, we did not have one rig running.
I remember that. Rig count zero.
Yeah, and prices had gone negative and everything else. We needed to have our industries here and people working because this is the future of the state. And so we were able to deploy that money.
And were these loans or were these stimulus grants?
They
or?
Were stimulus grants.
Oh,
I mean,
perfect.
They were just to get work done. That money was not to be a loan. We looked at ways that we could make it very easy, but the federal legislation really didn't provide for that. And it really needed to be grants, and that's what we did.
Well, now that was one of the risks of the oil and gas industry, of those that got loans versus a stimulus, because there still isn't business out there.
No.
There's not new business. You know, I mean,
no.
You know, in North Dakota, they're trying to, you know, cap some of the wells, and you've got this economic stimulus going. But when you look at the bigger picture, most of the people just spend a year trying to get business.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, the other thing that really we didn't advertise, it's just not the right thing to do. We made sure that we had about $15 million at the end of the year before the December 31st cutoff that was really right up to the end. We put about $15 million out to every county for them to make sure they could put it to use with local nonprofits. So, you know, helping to feed people, helping to pay bills for heating for their homes, because this was devastating to everybody.
So let's talk a little bit about maybe what some energy companies should be thinking about coming up next year. Now, you know, as well as I do, a lot of these oil and gas companies, they're going to their annual meetings and, you know, maybe September, October, November. But really, the boardroom decisions happen over 1, maybe 2 months, and that's the end of the year.
Right.
And then they manage those decisions for the next 10 years. Now, that's not 100%. There's some obviously some flexibility in there, but that's the template. What do you think people should know that are doing business in Wyoming? I saw Continental Resources investing a lot of money into Wyoming. And when I look at Wyoming, I think Wyoming has got the long-term vision, which is it's a natural gas play at the end of the day. And natural gas ain't going to go anywhere anytime soon.
No, and I think, you know, Wyoming's putting a lot of effort into blue hydrogen. We're looking opportunity sets there. There's Paul Ulrich, who I think will be speaking tonight with Jonah Energy, is really talking about sort of green natural gas and what they're trying to do as a marketing piece. Powder River Basin, obviously a great play, and Jonah still has a lot of life left in it. We're starting to see a little bit of activity down in our south central part of the state. We really understand that the future of the country is going to depend on having every source of energy available. You know, people are trying to limit it a little bit now. This administration's been a big headwind. Some states are doing that. And I think what's happening is people are recognizing that Wyoming is a place you can do business and a place that is part of the future.
I still think coal is going to come back in a way that nobody expects it to. And I think it's going to come back and be the solution to fresh water.
Well, I don't disagree with you. It's kind of funny. We had a little dust-up, I guess, with Washington State, which had and we, you know, the company unfortunately went out of business because they were so delayed for so long that they couldn't put the port in place mm-hmm. that they wanted to. But they invested, and we put millions of dollars into basically cleaning up an old aluminum mill. And the way they did it was with coal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we obviously have a couple of industries here that have done great work with activated carbon. But I don't think the last song has been sung about what coal can do. We can move technology forward. And in fact, if we're really serious about taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and this is something Doug Burgum and I have both talked about, you know, you're going to have to do it with some sort of coal
mm-hmm.
because it's the easiest, cheapest way to get that CO2 out of the atmosphere. You combine it with some carbon capture and we can make it happen.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
They keep telling me it's only a phase and that soon enough I'll see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do because who could love somebody like you?
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly. $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.